Bloomsbury presents Lives of Bitter Rain, a Tyrant Philosopher's Novella by Adrian Tchaikovsky. Read by David Thorpe. To Shane, Wayne and Martin, companions from my own early years. A Fire Out of Season. The bell tolls, but the rains mutes it to almost nothing. It's made from one of the old temple constructs that had been battering the liberating forces just a couple of years ago. Now, there's only a hollow, rounded torso suspended on ropes struck on the hour, the Palestine hour, by a hammer connected to a water clock. And the water from the rains gets into the clock, despite everyone's best efforts, meaning that in the 2 months of Jarrakir's deluge season, the bell strikes at all times, and the garrison's learned to ignore it, if they even register it over the constant drumming of the weather. Angili is 12, a child of soldiers. Her father is a statlos, attached to the garrison's quartermaster office. Her mother is a fellow inquirer from Correct Speech. When she was 3 years younger, and before she came with her family over to Jarrakir, she thought that meant that it was her mother's job to know everything. Now she's 12, and here, she thinks it's her mother's job to ask all the awkward questions which, when you're 12, and just starting to evaluate who you are and where you fit in the world, is the worst thing. This shift in perception has nothing to do with travelling across the sea to Jarrakir, and everything to do with growing up. In fact, her mother's role as an inquirer is to interrogate pals and their accessories for potential disloyalty, and put the screws on local Jarrakiri suspected of harbouring religious views and or people, both of which are expressly banned under the perfection that the Palestine have brought to Jarrakir. Angili will only understand this a lot later, and wonder what she would have thought had she understood it when she was 12. Because make no mistake, her petty rebellions against her mother's rule, her father being only a mute and yielding accessory to maternal authority, do not extend to questioning perfection. Back on the archipelago, she had sat in junior foul and learned by rote all the essential truths that explained why the Palestine way was best, why the Palestine sway was necessary, and the terrible, degrading conditions that people lived in who hadn't been brought into it. And now, she's here in Jarrakir, where people really do seem to live in terrible, degrading conditions. And every day she sees her people try to help them by explaining how to live by the precepts of Palestine ordinances. She has watched this for years, in the heat, rain and dry, and somehow the locals never get any better off, and many of them seem just to become poorer and meaner, and obviously that's their fault. She believes, like most pals believe, that the Jarrakiri are just innately less perfect, but surely they can learn if they only let go of their superstitions and nonsense and just try. She wasn't there for the liberation, of course. What the Jarrakiri are still mostly calling the invasion, because they aren't perfect yet. She didn't see the wonder of the temples, the resplendent cities, the craftsmanship, the artifice. Not that it has been erased, of course, but repurposed. The divine script and holy symbols scrubbed off or defaced or repainted, so that those examples of Jarrakiri high culture she has seen register as pal to her, based on whose livery they sport and whose hands they are in. And Jarrakir isn't the archipelago. She has fewer and worse friends, and the circle of people her mother feels like associating with is cripplingly small, and the little phalanstery here is undersupplied with books, and the teacher is just a cohort archivist with 2 other full-time jobs to do as well. And inwardly, she shifts the blame for all these inconveniences